Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away
when the sorrows of this life have grown. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. I'll fly away.
Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away when I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Good morning. You are listening to Highly Favored and Heaven Bound, brought to you from Grace Baptist Church of Hurlock, Maryland. I'm Bill Windsor. Stay with us for the next half hour and listen as our pastor, Dave Talley, preaches from the Word of God to us.
In the message today, it's very likely that some of you, if not many or all of you, are going to say, he just needs to calm down. He's taking this way too serious. But I assure you, I'm not taking it serious enough. I don't believe we are capable of taking today's topic seriously enough. The title of the sermon series is Bitter Pills to Swallow. This morning I had to take some Tylenol and some Chlortab. I went out to the fountain out here in the hall. I think some Yankees might call that a bubbler, is that right? Anyway, I went out there to get a drink. And you know, it doesn't work too well. You got three pills in your mouth and you bend over and suck. And first of all, I started choking on the water because I sucked it down my windpipe. But then I swallowed and the little Chlortab tablet was still on my tongue. And I began to disintegrate, you know. So I went down again and got another drink and swallowed, and it was still on my tongue. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. I did get it down. Last week, the bitter pill to swallow that we talked about was sin. I'll mention that again here in just a minute. Today, the bitter pill that we have to swallow is pain. Today, we're going to talk about pain. God whispers in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Title of today's message is The Democracy of Despair. Most of us, when we were little, fell and skinned our knee or bumped our head or something and went to mom with tears just rolling, we're dying here. And mom said those famous words, come here, I will kiss it and make it feel better. And there have been probably millions, if not billions, of injuries that have been miraculously cured just by a mother's kiss. And suddenly everything is all right. That tells us a lot about pain, by the way. We're going to look at some definitions here, and I beg to differ. I'm not claiming that I'm smarter than a dictionary or whoever wrote the dictionary, but I think you'll agree with me that all of the definitions are not exactly thorough. We're going to talk about the democracy of despair. Luke chapter 23, verse 26, this is the story of Jesus on the Via Dolorosa. He is on the road to Calvary carrying his cross. What will Jesus talk about as he carries his cross to Mount Calvary to redeem mankind? What's crossing his mind? What will he talk about? You want to guess? Moms. Luke 23, verse 26, as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. So apparently both of them now were carrying it. And there followed him, there followed Jesus, a great company of people and of women. Remember, his disciples had forsaken him. Except John. A crowd is following him and women are following him and they are bewailing and lamenting him with feminine compassion. But Jesus turned unto them, still carrying his cross with Simon. Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, blessed are those who are not moms.' The day will come when they will say, 'Blessed are those who had no children. Blessed are the wombs that never bear. Blessed are the breasts that never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' Why? Because they will be in such pain. They will gnaw their tongues," we read elsewhere, "in pain." And Jesus says, "For if they do these things in a green tree, what will be done in the dry?" What were they doing in the green tree? What the heck is he talking about? Well, Jesus is the humble, suffering servant. He's the incarnate Christ. He's God made flesh, dwelt among us, but he's meek and lowly and kind and humble, and he's teaching people and performing miracles, and now he's humbly giving his life. And yet he is surrounded by cruelty, meanness, and those who only want to inflict pain on him and kill him. And he says, if this is how they respond in a green tree, imagine how bad it's going to be when I come differently, not carrying a cross, but carrying a sword, not meek and lowly, but exalted, not speaking words of mercy and peace and kindness, but speaking words of condemnation and damnation and destruction, because that day is coming. Moms, he said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children who do not know me. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul wades in boldly where angels fear to tread. He talks about the role of men in God's program and the role of women in God's program. And most preachers would be like, yeah, let's just skip that passage. Don't need any enemies, especially on Mother's Day. But in this section, he's talking about God's appointed role of leadership and responsibility that he has given to man. And he anticipates that the women will say, well, what about us? And essentially, he says, never fear. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they, presumably her, continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I was reading in a commentary under David Guzik. I highly recommend his commentary on the Bible. You can go to blueletterbible.com and find it. And he got to this section and he said, this is, according to Manny, the most difficult verse to interpret in the entire Bible. So let's go get it, right, Jason? I am not going to tell you that I know everything about this verse. I'm not even going to try to interpret it in detail, but I want you to get the general feel that comes out of this verse. We're going to look at Genesis 3, verse 16 in a moment. In that passage, we have the record of condemnation entering into the world. And actually, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the man wasn't deceived, the woman was deceived. Whatever you want to make of that, that's what he said. And the woman was in transgression first, is what Paul said. But he says, never mind that, essentially, because she shall be saved in childbearing. Motherhood is a great blessing, essentially, is what he's saying. There's some more detail that I'm not sure exactly where he's going with it, but she shall be saved in childbearing. Some theologians who really think they're deep think that he's talking about the fact that Eve brought sin into the world, even though elsewhere we find that really it's Adam that's responsible. But anyway, since Eve was the first one to talk to the devil and those kind of things, so somebody could get mad at her. But let's not forget, some theologians think, women, Mary, also brought the Messiah into the world. So there is that. But whatever he's talking about here, he's clearly talking to moms. Y'all agree? Birthing people, as they call them these days, right? And he says, you'll be delivered, you'll be saved, you'll be safe if you continue in faith with love and with holiness and taking your role serious, embracing and accepting God's calling upon your life with great seriousness. Well, what role has he given to you, ladies? And we got some younger ladies in here that perhaps aspire to get married someday and have children for yourself. Let's see what you got to look forward to. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. God said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. What? That's the very first thing we have recorded in the Bible that God ever said to any woman. I will greatly multiply, not add, multiply your sorrow. And all you women are like, yeah, tell me about it. And your conception, in sorrow, you will bring forth children. And your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you. That whole verse is a description of the curse that you women have to bear. The whole thing's a curse. Is God gracious in the midst of the curse? Of course he is. I mean, it's strange if a mom is like, man, I wish I wasn't a mom. That's not okay. Something's wrong. Something's bad wrong. The curse that was placed on men, actually, is you must work hard and sweat and go through many failures in order to just earn your living, to make bread for the family, to bring home the bacon. And we know, guys, and you ladies know that many of us men embrace that with great gusto. In fact, it can even become kind of a surrogate spouse, you know. We forget about our wives sometimes because we're married to our jobs. Can I get a witness, women? So I relish my tasks that God has given to me. I want them. That's where I feel like I'm in my place. And of course, you ladies, I would assume, who are moms, would say, well, yeah, I feel like I'm in my place being a mom. That's awesome. I love it. I hope you feel that way. But it still comes with a lot of pain. I'll be quoting C.S. Lewis a lot today from the book, The Problem of Pain. He said, history is mostly a story of crime, war, disease, and terror. I've studied and taught history enough to agree wholeheartedly that's what history is mostly filled with. Stories of crime, war, disease, and terror. And all of these cause pain. But normal people do not love pain. There are those who love to feel pain. There's something broken in there with those people. Sorry if you're one of them. Something's broken in there. It needs to be fixed. There are people who love to inflict pain. Something is also very broken and needs to be fixed. But for the most part, we want to get rid of pain. How much does the people of this country spend on pain medicine every year? Health economist from Johns Hopkins University, writing in the Journal of Pain, I didn't even know there was such a thing, reported the annual cost of chronic pain in our country is $635 billion. Man, that's a lot of Tylenol. This is a bitter pill to swallow. Last week we talked about sin. Let me remind you just briefly. This is essential that you be reminded of this. Sin, if I could simplify the entire message down into just two little tiny comments. Sin is on one hand, missing the mark. God has set up a target, right? It's perfection. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we pull our bows back, we pull the arrows back in our bows, and we shoot at the target, and our arrows go sing, sing, shoom, chom, and they never hit the target, right? And of course, it's not enough that we miss the target. He actually demands that we hit the target every time, all the time. So even if you did hit it every now and then, it wouldn't be enough. This is actually called sins of omission, which I didn't get into last week. He says, do this, and we fail to do it. Whether we just don't even try or we try and don't succeed, this is who we are. This is what we do. We are mark missers. We're all a bad shot, morally, spiritually, religiously. The other side of sin is crossing over the line. He's drawn a line in sand. He says, do not cross it, and we all just try it out. And remember, you only have to cross the line one time. And God is offended. That's a sin of commission. We know intuitively, please listen, we know intuitively that if violations are real, I've met a few people who claim there's no such thing as sin. I asked one of them, if Russ Smith is watching, he was there when I asked the guy this. I said, so you don't believe anything is wrong? He said, no. The idea of wrong is a cultural construct. We just make it up. I said, so if I took this ink pen and jammed it into your temple and killed you right here, that wouldn't be wrong? He said, people would disapprove. Especially him. No, we know. Unless you're an idiot or a rebel. Sorry. We know that if violations are real, if sin's a real thing, then consequences must be real. We demand that people like Adolf Hitler pay for their crimes. And we even rejoice when it happens. Whether we should or shouldn't, we do. And we know that the threat against the disobedient, the threat that God has made against those who disobey him is death. We know that. We'll talk more about that next week. I know you're really excited to come to church next week. Last week we talked about sin. Today we're talking about pain. Come back next week. We'll talk about dying. Amen. Aren't you really excited? Joel Osteen, I am not. But normally we see death as an event at a point in time. The truth is we are all in a place of death now. A place of dying now. We are all walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now. And death is a process. Consider this. What if death was a reality but pain was not? I mean, really consider that. What if death was sure and certain, but there was no pain? In many, if not most cases, we wouldn't even know or recognize that death was coming. People would just go about their business and then drop dead with no warning and without any preparations. Disease would be a much bigger problem than it is. Because we could be deathly ill without even knowing it. In a very strange way, pain is a blessing. There's actually a medical condition called congenital insensitivity to pain with anhidrosis, CIPA. It has two characteristic features: the inability to feel pain and temperature, and decreased or absent sweating, called anhidrosis. This condition is known as hereditary sensory and autonomic neuropathy type 4. The signs and symptoms of CIPA appear early, usually at birth or during infancy. Now listen to this. This sounds ominous, but with careful medical attention, affected individuals can live into adulthood. An inability to feel pain and temperature often leads to repeated severe injuries. Unintentional self-injury is common in people with CIPA, typically by biting the tongue, lips, or fingers, which may lead to spontaneous amputation of the affected area. In addition, people with CIPA heal slowly from skin and bone injuries. Repeated trauma can lead to chronic bone infections, osteomyelitis, or a condition called Charcot joints, in which the bones and tissue surrounding joints are destroyed. We need pain, just like we need resistance. Life would be even more deadly without it. Let me give you three definitions, because the title of the message is The Democracy of Despair. First, the word despair, the complete loss or absence of hope. That's despair, the complete loss or absence of hope. You combine that with the word democracy, which means the practice or principle of social equality. Hey, we all want social equality, don't we? Well, there's one area where we've got it. It doesn't matter who you are. Life hurts for everybody. And the truth is, we have no capacity, no ability on our own, no hope of escaping this. And then the last word, pain, physical suffering or discomfort caused by illness or injury. I only put that in there because it's interesting to me that it's defined in our common dictionary as physical suffering. Brother Todd, last week as I prepared to preach on sin, I was standing over here actually shaking. I was so burdened about what I was preaching. And I had this constriction in my chest. It was much like the constriction in my chest that occurred on August the 13th of 1985, the day I got saved. That same conviction, that feeling on the inside that was not a product of anything physical, it was something spiritual going on that was affecting my body physically. And we know that this happens, positively and negatively. So I don't necessarily agree that pain is just physical. But never mind, that's a vocabulary argument. Let's move forward. You can make up your own mind about that. Four truths about pain for you to know and to apply. Number one, pain is both a blessing and a bane. Lewis proposes that pain is a strange paradox. It is a blessing that we desire to alleviate and should desire to alleviate and should actually work to alleviate. This is really strange. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In many places in the scripture, he talks about the advantage of being ignorant or poor or rejected or out of the way or somehow marginalized and minimalized in society. That's the ones that he really is attracted to, and those are the ones who are blessed. Well, if that's the case, we should rejoice when people get poorer or when we get poorer. Is that a word? More poor. We should be like, yay! The Bumgarners are here this morning. Their house caught on fire yesterday. I could have walked up to Wayne and put my arm around him and said, "Man, this is awesome, isn't it?" And he would have been like, "What? Are you insane?" Because even though it's a blessing, because God said so, and we know from experience that there are blessings that only come through poverty, we are supposed to do all that we can to alleviate it. That is, to take the pressure off, to help those who are poor, and even to dig ourselves out of poverty if we can. That's strange. C.S. Lewis said, "This realization is so ingrained in the fabric of reality that even atheist Marxists, communists, have founded their system on this principle." If you've studied Marxism, it's the proletariat versus the bourgeois, right? The bourgeois are the rich people, and the proletariat are those people that we must lift up. So think about it. Under that system, the proletariat, the poor people, those are the ones that deserve something good. So their very quality of value comes from the fact that they have nothing, but we can't leave them there. We must lift them out. That's strange. And that's just an illustration of how pain is in our lives. It's a blessing and a bane. No pain. Number two, pain is an integral part of every aspect of our life and existence on earth. I'm about to give you a long list of words. There's overlap in some of these categories that I'm about to give you, but I think they all merit individual attention. Within each category of life, there are pains that come inevitably to us, even under the best circumstances and even to the best people. There are also pains that appear to be preventable and in every way unnecessary, and yet they continue to come. And while you and I may enjoy many days with little or no pain, it is our sure lot and fate one way or another to experience pain. And there are, God be merciful to them, some who literally live with pain constantly every day with no hope of assuaging it. Here are the categories of life. I believe that under every rock, behind every leaf, around every corner, is either potential or kinetic pain. It's everywhere. I told you, you're going to be like, he needs to calm down. He's taking this way too serious. Margaret Schmidt. I watched her. I stood by her bed, Dorothy, as she was on her deathbed, wrenching her body from side to side, restless, thrashing, moaning, groaning. Please help me. Somebody help me. She was in such pain, dying, I believe, of brain cancer. I would like to tell you that universally across the world and throughout history, that's a rare occurrence. It is not a rare occurrence.
I hope you'll tune in again next week as we continue this sermon series called Bitter Pills to Swallow, with the second part of this particular sermon called The Democracy of Despair.
Thank you for listening today. I trust that you received a blessing from God's Word. If you would like to contact us here at Grace Baptist Church, feel free to call us at 410-943-3701, or you can write us at Post Office Box 162, Herlock, Maryland, 21643. If you would like to come to visit us, you can find us at 510 North Main Street, right here in Herlock, Maryland. I do hope that you will come to worship the Lord with us. Again, thanks for listening to our program, Highly Favored and Heaven Bound. I hope you will listen again next week as we look at the Scriptures once again. Until then, I'm Bill Windsor speaking for Pastor Talley and all of us here at Grace Baptist Church. May God richly bless you and have a great week. The month of June is finally here, and God willing, this month we're hosting a 2-week-long vacation Bible school program this summer beginning June 20th. Our theme this year is Monumental, Celebrating God's Greatness. We are offering classes for all ages, from the age of 3, if potty trained, all the way up through teenagers and to adults. We plan to meet in the evenings from 6 to 8:30 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays,
from June 20th all the way to July 1st. To pre-register, go to our website, gracebaptistofherlock.org, and look for the tab labeled Children's Ministry and follow the link. Monumental VBS, coming later this month.